All right, guys, I hope you are enjoying your day wherever you are, whenever you decide to download this particular episode. I have just gotten back from a beautiful wedding, one of our cool sororers, Miracle. Now she's Miracle Garrison. She got married. She's one of my great friends, got married in the Dominican Republic. So we just got back from there, which was a very nice trip before, obviously, Hurricane Irma being headed in that direction. And I hope that my folks who download in the areas that have been affected by Irma already and have been affected by Hurricane Harvey, we are sending you love, thoughts, and prayers, and continue to pray for those who are in Irma's path. So I'm just really exhausted. I'm actually in the car right now, so if you hear a little noise in the background, I just had to really do a quick intro for this replay, guys. And I generally don't do replays because I like to give you fresh new content every single Tuesday and Thursday, but I have been so busy, of course, with the launch of the new show, Sister Circle, which is launching on Monday, September the 11th at 9 a.m. on TV One. So I've been extremely busy with that, but have no fear. I have a great interview for you coming up next Tuesday. Really excited about interviewing this cool bruh who I am going to be interviewing tomorrow. So I would like to replay an amazing woman of Zeta Phi Beta, who is a fitness instructor, but she's also a dreamer, which I love. And her name is Anawa Aja. So my cool sore of Z5B just got married, Miracle Garrison. And now I want you to hear this amazing sister, Kusor, as well of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Anawa Aja. Get familiar with the unfamiliar. So please enjoy this. If you have not already donated to the hurricane relief in any way, shape, or form, please do so. Find a friend who is in need if you don't want to give to the big organizations. I am donating bags and bags and bags of shoes, donated diapers today. So you do the same. Love you very much, and please enjoy Anawa Aja.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. It is another edition of the Cool Soror Podcast, and sometimes you just gotta hawk people down to get what you want. And I definitely wanted this sister on the podcast, Anawa Aja. She's a health and fitness coach, motivational speaker, writer, and influencer. She's an all-around bad woman. Welcome to the Cool Soror Podcast. How you doing?
Got up early in the morning just to do this podcast.
That's right. And Anawa Aja, you are a cool soror of
Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
I'm so very happy to have you on. This is just, I am honored because my assistant, Latasha, her task is to find super, super dope women. And when she found you, I was like, what do we have to do to make sure we get this sister on? And so I'm just really happy to have you a part of the show. Nigerian powerhouse. Now give me the backstory to this name.
Oh, this started, the name was, I think my tag name came about like 8 years ago.
Okay.
You know, I basically went on sort of this mission. Like 8 years ago, I decided, you know, that I was really going to embark on fitness, and I had met so many setbacks in the fitness industry due to my size.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, which to me was okay, but to them, you know, I was too curvy, I was too big, and stuff like that. So I just started to create my own, like, YouTube videos and everything else because I'm like, okay, how can I not be in shape? I've been an all-star athlete. I've never been, you know,
yeah,
told I was fat. You know, this is incredible. And from me, you know, doing it, and at that moment, it was just never heard of, like a fitness woman, over 200 pounds, saying she's in shape and she has curves.
Mm-hmm.
It was unheard of. So when I started to do the videos, it just gained so much notoriety. It ended up going viral.
Right.
And through that, you know, people knew, you know, I mentioned myself as Nigerian, and then a person was like, oh, she's a powerhouse, a Nigerian powerhouse. So it wasn't like really, it just, I guess, casually sort of fit together.
Yeah.
And sort of went with that tagline, but it was like sort of everywhere. I had become this sort of phenomenon, you know, at that time, because they're like, oh my God, she's defying science. Pounds. So that's how I received the name.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, growing up, and you're from Brooklyn, but you were raised in New Jersey, and you recognized early how to love the skin that you were in. Like, I looked at one of your YouTube videos, and you were like, hey, I wasn't this skinny girl. I wasn't what society feels like is in shape. But you tapped into who you are and what you stood for pretty early. How did you get there so soon?
I'm going to be very honest with you. The battle started very early.
Okay.
And, you know, pretty much, you know how somebody can basically say there's no other place to go but up,
mm-hmm.
once you're at the bottom. And so pretty much during that time, in the early 90s, they had the whole revolution of, you know, the light, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with my light-skinned sisters, because, you know, I got some great friends in light-skinned, but basically that revolution of just light-skinned and, you know, brown skin wasn't really accepted, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so I was, you know, picked on for those very things. And, you know, the African booty scratcher. I mean, they were just very hard names that I was called growing up.
Right.
And at that moment, on top of that, I also was tall. You know, not very many women at that moment were, like, built like me. So I went through this sort of emotional chaos.
Okay.
Trying to cope with who I was at the time, because I felt that I had really no one to look to say, okay, I am beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because the women at that moment were not brown-skinned, were not really curvy, that they were saying, oh, they're beautiful women. This is, you know, this is a great example. There weren't very many examples for darker-skinned women
mm-hmm.
going.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say through all those experiences that I went through growing up as a child, you know, to my teenagers, even into, you know, my, you know, later years,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just sort of dealt with it.
Okay.
And I'm going to just tell you, there comes a time that you just get fed up.
Yeah.
You get fed up. You know, I tried. I was trying to do everything, child. I mean, you know, I permed my hair. I was trying. I was trying to do everything that I felt would make me more normal.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I said, the brown skin thing wasn't really celebrated. So I was just doing my best to deal with the circumstance at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of, you know, when I got to college, I think that's when it slowly, you know, I wouldn't say it started legway, but it slowly started to make legway, you know?
Yeah.
And I just sort of got fed up, you know, once I went to the agencies, because, you know, in that moment, I felt like I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated college, I did what I had to do, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to go to the fitness agencies, and I'm going to do this. And that was a harsh reality, like, no, your look is not right, you know, and I just sort of got fed up. And I just said, you know, and I've always mentioned this. It's one of my taglines, create your own lane.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I can't go there. I can't go to my left. I can't go to my right. That's fine. I'll go straight. Like, I'll figure it out. And in doing that, ironically, because you know what I always say, what you're destined to do, you will do.
Yes.
No matter, like, all the pitfalls, all the turns and everything else, I always feel like life is a full circle moment. And so I remember I tried all those things. I straightened my hair out. I tried to gain weight so I wasn't as muscular or not as curvy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so I was even more curvy. I was trying to fit in. I said, okay, well, maybe if I get even bigger and even thicker, maybe I'll fit into this genre.
Oh, man.
So I tried the video girl thing. That didn't work out because they're like, you're way too tall and your tone, it just doesn't even work out. You're like, artist.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do the modeling thing, and they were like, you're too big. And so it brought me back to those very things that I used to be teased for. And I said, well, hey, I'll just do my own thing. And that's when I created my own thing. I did my YouTube videos. I put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, there was a large number of women that were like, finally.
Yes.
Finally, we have someone that looks like us, that's in shape. See, I knew I wasn't crazy all those years. I was always told I was fat. I was always told that I wasn't pretty and this, that, and the third. And I, you know, I'm not normal or I don't look great. But, you know, now they had an example, something that I didn't have. I felt I didn't have. Now they had someone they could look towards and say, you know what, I'm okay. And so, ironically, me saying, you know what, I don't care what she says, I don't care what he says, I'm going to do my own thing. It wasn't forced. And through me sharing my journey, because I shared my journey, like, you know, I posted on YouTube, you know, I developed like a following of people, and people would share their stories, how I changed their life, you know, now even with, it was bigger than fitness. It was more about body acceptance. It was more about acceptance because I was a sister. You know, I was a sister. And so they're like, okay, finally. And I was embracing it. I said, listen, and I was very transparent with my story, which I believe is very important these days. You know, people say all the things that they, you know, people are scared to share those moments, are frightened for the criticism. But I just embraced it. I said, well, listen, man, you can't say nothing to me that I haven't already heard. I'm going to share this with you because you're not going to, you know, you can't pull no cats out of the bag. Look, this is what it is. And by me sharing that journey, I was able to indirectly help so many women and encourage so many women in their own personal plights. And they shared so many of the same stories of growing up feeling awkward, feeling not pretty, you know, feeling they were fat or feeling they were overweight. And now they felt they were okay.
Yeah.
Just because of my journey. So sometimes you got to be the martyr.
You have to. You have to. I have one of, it was, she's one of my favorite interviews that we've had on the show, CEO Ty. She's a Delta, and she said people are tied to your obedience. So God knew that he needed to use you for a greater good. When did you know that, okay, God is truly using me? Was there an aha moment? Was there one person? Was there a movement when you saw you had the first 100,000 followers? Like, when did you know, okay, God, you really are using me?
I'm going to tell you something. When I got pregnant.
Okay.
When I got pregnant with my twin boys, this was, you know, after, you know, everything went viral and I started developing, the strong following. I mean, it looked great, but there was such a struggle going on behind. I had basically personally was going through a rough patch in a relationship, 6-year relationship that sort of fell apart.
Okay.
And so now I was, you know, I had this plan of putting out these workout videos. I had it all figured out. And then I got pregnant. And then I didn't just get pregnant when I was having twins.
Ooh.
And at that moment, I was like, okay, I have to shoot these videos because I raised the money from my followers, from friends and family to put these videos out. And so I had to put those videos out. And it was so difficult. I went through so much to just get through it. And I remember the first time we shot it, it was a tragedy. I depleted almost 95% of my funds. I had to pull out a loan. And I remember I was 4 months pregnant, and I looked like I was about 6 months because I was having twins.
Twins, right.
So this time shooting the video, it's like you could see my belly. There was just no way. And I remember saying to myself, that moment, I was like, you know, they didn't pay for this. They didn't pay to see a pregnant woman. But I said, then something in me was like, but Anawa, if these workouts are great and they're good, they're going to support you no matter what. Just do it. And I went out on faith. I was struggling financially. I had basically walked away from my job because, look, I didn't know I was going to be pregnant. So I walked away. So all I had were these videos. All I had was this message, you know, accept the curves, accept who you are. And me being pregnant, I didn't know how they were going to receive it. And I put it out there. I remember I moved out, you know, I had moved out of my place. I moved back home. You know how you take two steps back?
Yeah.
Three steps forward. And that's basically what I did. And I remember how hard it was. I was, you know, had these newborns, everything else. And I put that out. And all I had were the success of those videos to support those kids.
Right.
And slowly but surely, people were raving about it.
Yeah.
So nobody even mentioned anything about, I think maybe one or two people might have said, I think she's pregnant in the video.
Mm-hmm.
But I had given it all. There was nothing left to give. I was going back and forth to Brooklyn, New York. I had depleted all my funds. I was pregnant. I was emotionally and mentally distraught. I had to raise not one, but two kids. I'm back in my mom's place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, man, this is a lot. Like, for some reason, I think at that moment when things started to come together, I said, that was that moment. That was my test.
Yes.
That was my test. And now this is my testimony. And the testimony that I shared basically brought me that following.
Yes.
Brought me, like, people, the story that I was able to share was, like, so inspiring to people. Like, you were pregnant doing those videos? You
mm-hmm.
have kids? You were... And I shared my journey of how to get my body back from twins.
Yes.
And at that moment, I'm like, you couldn't have wrote a better story than this. You couldn't have wrote a more challenging story than this in my life. And I felt at that moment that I was chosen to do mm-hmm. exactly what I was doing.
Because the things that you were going through resonated with everybody from all walks of life, whether it's the perfect picture and you're having twins, or it's the situation that you were in and you're having twins, or whatever. This was all you had, and God saw that you gave it all you had, and He has truly rewarded you for your obedience. Obedience. Yes.
It's very true. I just want to mention to so many people that there's two types of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that cower to fear, and there's people that stand up to it.
Yes.
And not to say anybody is weak, but so many times when we have these setbacks or we have these challenges, you know, people run away or they step away from it. That is the moment to me so many times that you are being tested.
Yeah.
That your faith is being tested. Is this really what you want to do? How bad do you want it? Is your heart really here? And you have, and at that moment, I had no one, I mean, I don't want to get too spiritual.
You can.
I couldn't do nothing but pray. Yeah. I could do nothing but pray to get my bills paid. I could, like, at the moment, I had done everything that I could do. The only thing left to do was to pray. And that's what I feel happens to you when you've done everything. There's no stone left unturned.
Yes.
I think at that very moment, you are being tested. And when you sit down and pray and say, look, God, I gave it all I got. When you literally gave it all you got, you have nothing else to do. And I felt that that's exactly what happened. And I think that so many people, some people, they run away from it. They're like, you know what, let me resort back to what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to change, you have to get familiar with the unfamiliar.
Woo.
You have to put yourself in very precarious situations, very uncomfortable situation in order for that change to grow. Change does not come out of repeating the same habits. It comes out of change.
Yes.
And so many times people say they want something there. They are willing to change to receive those things. And God is not going to give it to you in the same body, in the same spirit. You got to change who you are if you mm-hmm. really want to receive what you, you know. Oh, Lord, I'm getting all deep.
No, I need you to understand. When you are on the show, this is completely about you. You can go as long as you want to. I'm trying to tell you, this is a testimony. You are helping somebody in this moment.
Yeah, it's just that those circumstances, because I could tell you right now, I was a bit of a know-it-all. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had it figured out. This is the plan. I had it written out on paper. Okay, if I do this, I do this, I do that, then I'll get here. and it never happened. It was a roller coaster ride, everything else. And me at the end, I never would have imagined that I would be where I am, but it was so much greater than any vision that I had imagined.
For yourself.
That's because I trusted. I trusted and I had faith. And so many people, they just cower. They want to stay stagnant. They're like, listen, because it's familiar to them. But those are the moments that you're being tested. So I just challenge people to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, to challenge themselves and to have faith. Okay, yeah, this is not familiar, but in order to, like I said before, if you want something different, you got to do different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really, truly believe in what you're doing, you have to have faith. If you're questioning everything, that's okay. We question things all the time. But if you keep on going, you just figure, you say, listen, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I have faith in the situation. You pray about it and everything. You've given it all that you could. This is all that's warranted from you. But if you constantly question yourself, you're constantly settling in the same circumstances, there's not very much that's going to change about your life. You have to be willing to put yourself in very compromising positions sometimes to get where you need to go. And I was tested so many times, but I truly believed in that project. I truly believed in where I was and what I was supposed to be doing. And I just say sometimes, you know, not taking anything away from people that are not parents, but I'm gonna tell you one thing, when you have a child, things change.
Yes.
And it changes dramatically. And I'm like, I gotta provide for my kids. I ain't mm-hmm. gonna figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, before my kids were even here, you know, I think that, and that's what was, I thought that maybe, you know, I was like, I'm pregnant with twins, but I really wouldn't be where I'm at, because at that moment, it really gave me the extra push, because I'm like, I got to provide for them. Like, who's going to hire a new mom and that, you know, a new mom and make good money?
Right.
To support two babies on my own, you know? And so that was what gave me the extra push.
Yes, yes. How much, I know that the boys are, they're three now?
They're four.
What joy and inspiration do you get from them, seeing them every single morning? I mean, you've talked about why you do what you do because of them. You've got to provide for them, but continuing to progress in your life and seeing their faces every single day, what does that do for you on a daily basis?
I'm going to tell you so much. It gives you a greater purpose. You know, I always talk about it, but I don't know if I necessarily would have been be here if it wasn't for my kids. People say that all the time, but I'm being very honest with you, because you got to change your ways when you're really living for your kids. Like, I was a bit impulsive. You know, you just sort of go out on a whim, you know, when you're living in your own world, you know. But when you have to be accountable for these two little people and all they have, the most important person in the world is you, you don't want to let them down.
Yes.
You want to do everything that you can to make sure they're good. And I think that every time that I see them in the every morning, it gives me greater confirmation that I'm doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, okay, I want them to have certain things. I want them to have more than what I had. I mean, you know, I worked very, very hard. Of course, I'm going to give them the humbling aspects and let them know how things came to be, but they really keep me focused.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not knocking everybody. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But children, you know, when you really think about how important, you know, your parent, or if you were blessed to have both parents, or blessed to have one parent, how important that person was in your life, you got to imagine the same kind of thing for your child.
Yeah.
And there's nobody who's going to take care of your child like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they keep me focused.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you are truly changing the narrative of what fitness looks like. I saw some measurements online. Are these still your measurements? 5'10", 200 pounds, 36, 27, 45.
Okay, they changed.
They changed. What are they now?
Girl, they changed.
Yeah.
That was before I had kids.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
That was before I had children. I'm still 5'10". Right now I'm doing this 60-day challenge.
Yes.
So I'm at like, oh, I'm actually 209 right now.
Okay. Okay.
My measurements are still the same. I think I'm a 36 double D now, 38 D. And my waist, I haven't measured it. I think instead of like a 28, I think it probably like a 30 or 31. I mean, I was carrying twins.
It's all good. So, I was just
wondering. So I think right now it's probably like a 29, 30 because, you know, I'm with the exercises and stuff. And my hips, I probably a little wider. I got hippier after carrying the kids.
After the babies,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably, you'd be honest, it's probably like a 46.
It's all good. It's beautiful, honey. It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, it's all love. How important is it for you, because you have the type of following that you have now, and you are beautifully built, God made you exactly how he wanted to make you, how important is it for you to change the narrative of what fitness looks like? Because, you know, in the magazines, a 2 and a 4 and a muscular, and there's a 6, and then they may push to an 8 or a 10. But how important is it for you to change that narrative?
It's very important. You know, it's very important for me to change the narrative, because when I first started off, I mean, to be honest with you, I had no idea that what I was doing was so powerful at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now everybody, you know, you see it so much of a slew of women, like, oh, curves and fitness and everything else. You know, because now there's a larger support for it. There's a larger, there's more people speaking about it. Whereas mm-hmm. when I was about, there was no one,
right?
You know, so it changes the conversation, because, you know, these outdated European body charts are not realistic.
They're not realistic,
and they don't apply to everyone, and it's making people go back to the drawing board and really assess all people. Who did you, I want to know, talk to, give me your point person, who is the person that's
right,
everybody. You know, and so now we're forcing ourselves to have these conversations, because what are you going to say? You know, I remember this guy saying, "Well, you're different. That's why you look the way you do." And I'm like, I know that I'm not the only one who's different.
Right.
That looks the way that I do, and is in shape. That there is a large group of women, a large population of women that are exactly like me, and this needs to be addressed. So I'm hoping that my message, and I will continue to deliver the message, because now I feel like this is a part of my mission, where this is more accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I say, you know, sometimes you're the martyr. Sometimes people, you know, you got to be the one who's crucified and torn apart and everything else, and then finally it's like, oh, you know, home free, everybody's okay now, you know, and I'm okay with that, because not everybody can go through what I went through.
Yeah.
You know, to get to. So I feel like sometimes, I'm not trying to knock, but I feel like some people are just chosen
mm-hmm.
to go through those experiences. But when you're able to go through those experiences, the reward is so amazing. So I just believe that now the narrative and the discussion is going to be, we're going to be discussing some of the things that we haven't really discussed in the fitness industry.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, like, what is the scientific basis behind some of these European body charts? Like, does this realistically apply to all women?
Yeah.
I want to really have these conversations with medical professionals and everyone else. Like, you know, so I think, because we really need to be honest, we really need to change the narrative, because there's now an epidemic of children that are obese. And kids nowadays are having so many issues
mm-hmm.
with body acceptance. Self-esteem and everything else. And so these conversations have to be very realistic, because I remember being that girl sitting in the nursing office and the nurse looking at the body chart and saying, oh, you're overweight. You know, and that followed me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really want to change that discussion, so we can prevent this from happening to more children. And really just realistically address everybody. So now we all feel like we're a part of the conversation.
Yes.
The fitness world was very limited before. We need to expand it to now accept everybody, all shapes and sizes and body types.
Yeah, because some people are built and they can never in their entire lives look like, you know, this person that they've chosen off Instagram. Like, this is my goal, this is my body goals. But your body is not even made like that. Like, I think that's part of the conversation as well. Like, you can't defy genes.
Man, listen, you know what?
You know?
If you don't speak to it, I always said now, nowadays it's just, it's become a bit discouraging sometimes to some of these young women. Because I remember talking to someone, I emailed not even too long ago, and the woman said, listen, she just had a baby, and she actually was going to go have surgery. Not even a month after having surgery. I'm having a baby to have surgery. She said, my stomach, my boobs, my hips. And I said, you're not even giving your body a chance.
A chance.
What? Because now there's all these snapbacks. Mm-hmm. I just had my baby yesterday. Look at me now. And all these things. It's like, it has become, it is so important. I mean, it is more my mission than ever to change the narrative on this, because women are killing themselves.
Yes, literally.
Literally, for these very unrealistic expectations. Like, okay, like I remember I said to that girl, and that changed everything. And I'm like, I could have saved this woman's life. Because there's so many women who are dying during these procedures because your body hasn't even healed yet. And I remember I said to her, I said, listen, it took me a whole nine. I said, how long did it carry that baby? She said, 9 months.
Exactly.
I said, okay, 9 months to feel normal.
Yes. I mean, that's the same thing. I've had two children, and people say, well, how did you do it? I'm like, you have to give yourself permission. Your body has changed, gradually over, I would say a year. You know, give yourself a year. If your body changed in those 9 to 10 months, you got to at least give yourself a year to feel back to halfway like you felt before.
Right. And so they're like that, and then they're just, now it's just, you know, and people are having their procedures. Nothing wrong with it, child, because not everything can be fixed through exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, I'm all about, look, not everybody wants to be transparent. That's fine. It's your business. But there are people who, you know, you're saying, okay, I got this teeny, teeny, tiny waist by doing these exercises, but you had liposuction.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not knocking liposuction. But you are not being transparent with it. And so people are actually believing, okay, if I do these exercises that this fitness professional just told me, my waist is going to look like hers.
No.
And so that's where now the fitness world has become a bit controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as just some of the people, and I'm the one having those conversations. I'm like, look, I ain't going to lie. I told people when I had my hernia surgery, I tell people, I'm like, listen, it's your business. You can do whatever you want, you know. And if you want to get surgery, that's your problem. That's your focus. You can tell everybody. And I really respect people that are honest. There are fitness professionals that are very honest and say, listen, I have my boobs done, everything else. And follow and respect that. It's just, you know, like, just be transparent to that degree so people know what to expect. And people want to, you know, because I think there's so many people that are very naive to the process.
Yeah.
It's very important for people to be honest, because you now have an accountability to people. When you start having people that follow you and look up to you, I feel like your responsibility now is to be honest with those people, because they're really trusting your word. Like, when I have all these women that purchase my products or, you know, do these challenges with me, they're trusting that it's gonna work. They're trusting that I've done the same exact thing to get exactly where I have, which I have. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, we got to be honest with this generation, because this, I mean, these young kids now, they just feel like, okay, if I get my boobs done and this, that, I'll be pretty.
Mm.
And I really want to change it. I just really want to change the narrative. I was so happy when the natural came back. I was so happy. You know, not saying if you perm your hair, you're different, but it was just like, now we're just getting back to the core. Okay, look, accept me for me. And that's what I really want to try to change, the mentality of a lot of these young girls these days. Like, you don't
Right. And I'm glad you have referenced your followers and talking to young girls and just making sure that you are transparent. Do you believe that is why your brand has completely blown up? I mean, you have impressions of over 2 million. I mean, 235,000 followers on Instagram. Do you think it's because of your transparency, or why do you think your brand is as large as it is and continuing to grow?
Transparency.
Yeah.
know, this, you know, people sell you, they be selling wine. They selling stories online, you know. There's, you know, there is now such an epidemic with what's real and what's fake. Who's being honest, who's not being honest. And I think that people, I pulled receipts. Like, people have, like, no, she didn't have surgery. I remember she, when she had her baby. I remember when she had this. You remember? You know, like, people were able to follow me through this journey from even before I had kids to now. And so they're like, she's honest. And people don't really, they really underestimate the power and honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so important for honesty. I remember people just, people follow me, they're like, girl, you know, I follow you because you're one of the, you know, last real ones, or, you know, or mm-hmm. you're so honest with your journey. Because I remember them when they were talking about twins, I was like, girl, my stomach was a hot mess. And they laughed. I said, listen, I said, look, I'm like, good for Tiana Taylor and all the mother girls.
Right.
My stomach didn't look like that, you know? And they laughed.
Right.
And they were like, oh my God, you know, they're like, did you have stretch marks? Like, yeah, I have stretch marks on my hips, did I have this? And they were like, wow. I'm like, listen, like, you know, and just that little bit, you don't understand how powerful that is with women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, you know, this childbearing is beautiful, motherhood is beautiful, but when I tell you these men got to understand, women undergo some very tumultuous things to bring some of the most beautiful creatures into this world.
Yes.
The kind of trauma that our body goes through.
Whew.
To have children, you know, is needs to be, that is something that we must not overlook as a gender. We need to pay attention to those things. And so I make it very clear that we are all different. But because I'm at a status, I guess at a level, you know, and I could have been easily those kind of people, like, oh, I snap right back. But because I'm now, oh my God, she's who she is, and she never snapped back, and she struggled,
mm-hmm.
and she had the same issues. Like, I remember I said I had abdominal separation.
Yep.
I had hernia. I said I had stretch marks. I said I was breastfeeding too. I was a hot mess. I was depressed. I shared these things. And it touched so many women, because so many women go through those things.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I wasn't the lucky few that, or I'm not going to say lucky, but I wasn't blessed or fortunate to not have those things happen to me. I had those things happen to me, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so me sharing that with them, and at the level that I was so comforting for women.
Yes.
Was so comforting. Yeah. You know, and that's what those kind of conversations, that transparency is what I believe has really driven my brand.
Mm-hmm.
The transparency is my journey, you know, because, you know, me sharing my journey was so organic. It's because, like, there was nobody out there saying what I did. I went through so much to share my story, to tell people it was okay for them to be themselves, to tell people, you know what, you're not necessarily fat if you're this way, to tell people, okay, yeah, you might be brown skin, but you're still beautiful. I went through all that trauma, through all those struggles and difficult times and depressions and everything else. I went through all that to be able to help millions of people.
Wow.
You know, and I just believe that transparency is the key to what has elevated my brand.
Man, it's beautiful. You've got a number of DVDs and probably so many other things that you're working on, which we'll get into shortly. But I love the one, lose the gut, keep the butt. How'd you come up with that? Because, I mean, I work out a lot. I'm in the gym 5 times a week. I'm one of those chicks too. And I have lost a lot of weight lately, and my booty is it was never big in the beginning, but now I'm looking a little skinny. So I need to know what I need to do. My trainer is working on me. We're doing different exercises to boost my booty back up, but it did go away.
Lose the Gut, Keep the Butt was so, you know, and that's my brand. And we branded it and everything else. Lose the Gut, Keep the Butt was just through conversation with women. So many women are like, God, every time I lose weight, my stomach go down, but I be losing my butt. And it's so important. it's so important to black, white, now everybody.
Everybody want a booty.
African Americans, but already now to still sustain that booty has become such like a pinnacle in the community,
right.
Or build up that booty. And so I, you know, quite naturally from even me, my experiences, but things that I've done, just generally things that I've done that I knew targeted those areas, but you can't spot fix areas. And that's what people,
they're
always like, okay, I want to work on my butt and nothing else. That doesn't work.
It doesn't, yeah.
You know, you have to work your entire body. And so I guess I just developed that program. I made it fun. You know, and it's one of my DVDs that, you know, you see us joking around a bit, have a little bit more lighthearted, you know, conversation. But it's so much fun, but it works the areas that it needs to work.
Good.
And so a lot of people also don't understand the importance of nutrition.
Oh,
you know, it all plays a part.
That's more than working out. You got to eat right.
Yes. It's way more important than working out.
Yep.
You know, if you're not consuming enough proteins, if you're not, you know, macros, micro, like those kinds of things are very important.
Yeah.
When you're losing weight, when you're building muscle,
you
know, and you want to also make sure that you're doing the appropriate exercises and you're using resistance for certain exercises, you know.
Yep.
And
yep.
So, it's a science behind that. So you just want to make sure whoever you enlist that you're working with a great trainer, or you have a great tape or a great workout. There's a lot of great health and fitness professionals. I am blessed to be amongst some great people. And so you just got to do your research and see what works. I mean, I have a lot of before and afters. I mean, for this Lose the Gut, Keep the Butt challenge that I had, it's over 9,000 women registered.
Love it.
And we are at the tail end of it. It's 14 more days left in the challenge. And people will see those before and afters, and then they'll be like, oh, okay. And so you just got to do your research.
Beautiful. Love it.
Can you speak to resistance training, and especially how important it is as we grow older? I just really reintroduced weights into my routine. Back in September, I was at 141, and I wanted to get a particular size because of some television projects that I have going on. And weights changed my life. Can you please speak to the collective out there about the importance of resistance training? Because you did talk about it, but talk a little bit more about that.
It is extremely important. First and foremost, let's just be very honest with you, and this is a fact. You burn more calories lifting weight than you do doing basic aerobic cardio.
Wow.
It's a fact. Secondly, as we get older, you know, our flexibility, our strength diminishes and everything else. And it's, those are very important as we get older, because if you notice at, you know, the older population, they struggle with a lot of times, you know, injuries, simple injuries from basic things that have to pertain to bone health or just strength, flexibility. You know, those kinds of things. And so, it, you know, it's very important as you, you know, yes, as we're in our youth, or, you know, sometimes it's more of a beauty aspect to it. But overall, your physical ability and overall just the physical health, you want to make sure that you're lifting resistance weights, that you're basically maintaining your strength, that you're building strength and stuff like that, because those kinds of things counteract, you know, these kind of injuries that you see so many of the older populations suffer from as you get older. You know, that's why it's also important as you get older to focus on your flexibility. Yoga has been, you know, talked about, you know, people talk about yoga, but that's so important as you get older. They always say, you know, flexibility helps prevent injury. So basically, if you're more agile and stuff like that, your body's more able to adapt to those kind of movements. If you're not, you're more susceptible to injury. So it's just very important that you lift weights for your strength, to counteract those things that happen, because as we get older, you know, as you get older, you can live in a simple box and you can end up.
You can hurt yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you cleared. I'm glad you cleared that up for some folks out there. Like, I'm gonna get too bulky. No, baby, it's good for you. I'm trying to tell you.
Right, and I'm about to let people know about that. Please ditch that. That is the most foolish.
Foolish.
You know, I remember when I was younger, because I mean, I wasn't all that educated about it, even though I was an athlete. But you know what kind of sacrifices, what kind of work ethic, everything else, what kind of diet, bodybuilders, and everyone have to go through to get bulky. It requires so much to get bulky.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, what's for you is for you. And at the end of the day now, it's a whole different trend of women. Now it's cool to look good, be toned arms. You see, oh,
yes.
Michelle Obama, the
yes.
man now to have toned arms now. You know, I mean, to me, it's just like, you know, I don't want to, but now it's so much more attractive
mm-hmm.
to be even in relationships or partnerships with people that are taking care of themselves. People, you know, you don't want to, and let's be realistic and let's have these conversations. There are people that I know that are in relationships and they're fairly young, early 30s, and they're tending to a partner that has issues with, you know, diabetes or high blood pressure. This is not something that was just genetic. It was just poor eating habits, a poor lifestyle. And they're now having to help take care of that partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's real.
Very.
Like, people got to understand that the choices that you're making will affect you for the rest of your life. You mean you can't simply make those matters, okay, you don't want to lift weights because you don't want to be bulky, you don't want to be, okay, but then later on down the line and you hurt your back or you do something, you sustain something that could basically might put you out of work for the rest of your life. Is it really worth it? You know, this is physical health. It's extremely important, and people really need to put that on the top of that priority list.
Love it. Speaking of priority lists, you made it a priority in the fall of 2002 to pledge Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Ada Chapter at Temple University. Now, did Zeta Phi Beta choose you, or did you choose Zeta Phi Beta?
Woo!
Oh, yes.
Man. You know what? I'm going to say it to you like this. When I joined Zeta, during that time on my campus, there was a huge population of BST. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, let me... Oh, okay, everybody should know the language, but I'm like, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah, they know.
DST and AKAs and SG Rose, but, you know, at that time, for what I saw, there weren't really a lot of Zetas.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's all about who I was at that moment, and I just said, well, I didn't want to just sort of jump into an organization that had already had their legwork and they already had their thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of wanted to become a part of the organization to make some sort of difference.
Okay.
Some sort of impact. And so at that moment, it led me, and I believe the mystery, it led me to. And, you know, I did my own little research. You know, you go to little interest meetings.
Right, right.
And I just remember just sitting there and it reminded me so much of my life, because mm-hmm. it was just like, I felt like, okay, I'm not a follower. And so I just felt like, okay, I like to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that, okay, this is the organization right now. They have their members. And at that moment, you know, before that Spring 96, I mean, that was a big line. But at that moment, there weren't a lot of Zetas that I physically saw. So at that moment, I felt like I could make some sort of impact in the organization.
Love
so it. I guess you can say, I don't know how you can say it. Two-way street.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people answered that way, both ways. Yeah, two-way street.
Yeah, it was a two-way street.
How many were on your line?
Everybody has a story, right?
Oh, everybody got a story now. Hey,
everybody has
a story. Let me tell you, I can spend a whole podcast on my chapter,
okay, okay.
But we won't do that.
I'm going to put it out there. There were originally four.
Okay.
ended up being two.
Oh my.
So that ended up, but woo, I'ma just tell people straight up like this. You heard it first. I was online twice.
Oh wow. So, okay.
Right.
You yes. So, you better wear that finer shirt, honey.
Yes. I earned my last.
Yes.
Not anybody that did, but I'm gonna put it out there. I was online twice. My line sister went through one line, I went through the next.
Oh my goodness.
And it was not smooth sailing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna put that on out there.
Okay.
And I think that a lot of people can relate to my situation.
Mm-hmm.
But my soror, the godmother of my kids, one of my best friends, Rashmia Aida Gang, Marquita Green. You know, Marquita Green was also responsible for me bringing me through the second mm-hmm. time. But I really am thankful for them helping yeah. me cross the burning sand.
Love it. Love it. I love it.
I owe her everything. So that's how, you know, so mm-hmm. that's how my process went, but I still kept my number, of course.
Yes, so you are an active member of your graduate chapter now, Omega Muse, yes, right?
Yes, I'm an active member of the Enduring Omega Muse Zeta chapter, which I love, 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 love. I love all the girls, I love the bachelors, I love everyone who's involved. It's just a great, great chapter.
Awesome.
And on Saturday, May 20th, we have our perfection, which is we're celebrating 5 years of service in the Middlesex County area. It's a black and white affair, and it's going to any of my Jersey folks, it's going to be in Old Bridge, New Jersey at the Grand Marquis from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. and they're honoring some very powerful women. And I'm just elated
yeah.
and excited to be a part of the graduate chapter, because you know I felt it was also a responsibility to me because of, you know, me being in my position, which, you know, for me to make sure that I was active in the organization, because yeah. you know, as many fellow Greeks do, we sometimes we step away.
Yes.
You know, we step away for our many different reasons. And I remember at that moment, it was like, I just didn't have time. My money was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this kind of stuff that I had. And I just remember once I got to this position, I'm telling you, once I really got to this position, I was like, I cannot, you know, because it was like a year later. Like, I just was like, I have to, there's just no way. I have to be active.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way, just being in my position as well, especially here locally and regionally and on some levels national. I just felt like it was important to make sure that I was very active in my chapter too, because you can't just, you know, yeah, I'm the AKA, I'm a Zeta, whatever, and then you're not doing what you need to do for the perpetuity of your organization. So, and that's not a knock on anybody else, because everybody's
right.
circumstances are different, but I just felt like at that point in my life, at this point in my life, I wanted to make sure that I'm active and doing what I can to not only benefit AKA, but all sororities. And therein lies the reason why I'm doing Cool Soror, so to make sure we showcase everybody.
It's very important.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very important. It really is. People don't really understand the importance of it, because I remember even now, I remember I was just in Philadelphia, you know, just sort of walking down the streets, and I remember I forgot what weekend it was, and I bumped into some of my fellow sorors from Howard,
mm-hmm.
Alpha Chapter. And they, you know, they were, you know, like some of them, I think they were Neos too. And I remember they were so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So happy, like, oh my God, sorors. So they want to take pictures and everything else. And, you know, you just don't understand how much of an impact you have.
Yes.
For the organization, you know, in general. So I think it's also a responsibility
mm-hmm.
that you have, you know, as far as, you know, making sure that you're active. And now I don't knock, everybody takes their own time.
Yes.
And everybody has their own reasons why. I mean, mine was, you know, I had my own personal reason. I had, you know, things things that might have made me step away from it for a second, but, you know, it always brings you back. And so, you know, I just say to everybody, don't, you know, when you have no idea what our you know, what these organizations, what mm-hmm. our, you know, mm-hmm. Can do for your life. Not just even the sisterhood.
Right.
Being, other fellow sorors and stuff like that. But I tell everybody, if you can, just make that return if you can.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, because people need to hear that. And and get back active. How can people find you, my dear?
Well, I have several.
Yes, you do.
Different search engines. Of course, I have my website, www.anawaadja, AnnisAndNancyOwaAdjah.com. And basically, for all my social media handles, all you have to do is really look up my name.
Mm-hmm.
There. For Instagram, AnnawaAdja, AnnawaAdjah. For Twitter, AnnawaAdja. For Facebook, AnnawaAdja. These are like verified accounts. I mean, for my Facebook, it is. But you can. It doesn't even matter. You can easily just, once you put my name in there, I'll pop up.
Everything will pop up. Yeah, it does. It does. People tag you. They do all types of stuff. They hashtag you. You're doing amazing things, and I'm so glad that we had a chance to chat. Before I let you go, what is your definition of cool?
My definition of cool is someone who is transparent, willing, able, open, outgoing, and overall loving. I think I'm just going on and on, but
It doesn't matter.
just someone who is just open-minded to change,
mm-hmm.
and is willing to go the extra mile for others.
Yep, and you know what? That's exactly what you were doing, and therein lies the reason why you are a cool soror of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. How about that?
Yes.
Well, I have truly enjoyed myself today. Hey, what does your name mean? I know it's supposed to be the last question. What does your name mean?
It means strength.
It means strength. Love it. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so are you, sis. Keep showing them how to do it out there, okay?
I definitely will. And thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Continued success. And I look forward to seeing you on Nike and Adidas once they, you know, get it right, that everybody look good.
We trying to work on some things together. They better get it together.
They better get it together. AnnawaAdja, everybody.
Hey, my name is AnnawaAdja, and I'm a health and fitness coach, an influencer, a writer, an overall go-getter, and I am a cool soror of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.